You know what it's like to be on the bill and to play for 15 minutes, and the only people there to see you are the other bands and their girlfriends.
Buffalo, New York, where we admit Canada is just like us, but we hate them. It's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, the ceiling, the floor, and then those six things all over again, because there's nowhere else. I'm Ryan Gurnett, and I am joined by no one. This episode is kind of going to be a little off the cuff here. Kel was supposed to join me. She's been having migraines today, and I wanted to get an episode done like a week and a half ago, and it never did because, physical health, mental health, new things, old things. But it's good. It's good, folks. I'm happy to be here talking to you, and I have some fun stuff to talk about. On this episode, I'm going to mention the shitty band Trapped takes a swing at Buffalo and its promoters. If Kel's feeling up to it, we may play a game of Trapped or Trump. I might talk about the coronavirus a little bit, and I am not working at the stage anymore, and there is some stuff to talk about there. Also, we've been doing all sorts of fun online concerts, and we've had some more coming up in the future, plus some trivia nights I'm running, so we're going to talk about that too. We've got brand new music by Dreadnecks. We have some exclusive live music. I have a whole bunch of tracks of that, and then I had the tracks I was going to play before I had those live tracks, so I have a lot of tracks, and I don't want to say what I'm going to play because I don't know yet. We're definitely playing Fishing with Dynamite from the Dreadnecks' new self-titled album, and I do have a really cool clip of Danimal Cannon playing live for a virtual concert. But first, dun-dun-dun. I had a really long rant I was going to do about people protesting this pandemic, but just if you're doing that, just like grow the fuck up, okay? Very simply put, 20% of the people in America have some sort of disability or autoimmune disorder, and it's not as, you can't just put, like, say, like, oh, well, let's hide all the vulnerable people, because those vulnerable people need to see doctors, and they have families and friends, and it's impossible just to put those people away somewhere. And the big thing here that you never hear anyone talking about is that, I started having symptoms myself of mitochondrial myopathy when I was 9 years old. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia around the time I was 25, and I think it wasn't until I was 34 or 35 years old that I was actually diagnosed with the proper illness I have. So what's my point? My point is that there are, if we have to take care of everyone, because we honestly don't truly know who this is going to affect. You don't know how it's going to affect people, and you don't know if people have some sort of underlying disorder. So instead of just being a dick about stuff, just stay inside, chill out, get a dog or two. That's what we did. We just got an adorable new dog. Just don't be a dick. Like, disabled people have it bad as it is. There's a lot of disrespect going around. There's a lot of lost friends. There's a lot of, like, my disability hearing was a goddamn joke. And it's hard. You know, even just when people who look normal want to use a handicap placard, it can be a giant pain in the ass. And I think we have already done a pretty poor job at the way that we as a nation treat these vulnerable people. So maybe we can't even make, like, it's just making it worse. So let's just all stay in place. And not be a dick and not circle that circle thingy in Buffalo. What's that circle called, Kel?
Gate Circle.
Don't circle Gate Circle for the Moron 500. It's just ridiculous. So, yeah. Well, I had a really long one written, but I'm not in the mood. We just found out that we're going to start reopening tomorrow, and I haven't seen any local protests since that one. So I'm going to chill out on that a little one. next up, we are going to play a brand new song. This is a great track from Dreadnecks. If you've never heard Dreadnecks before, you're in for it. These guys are great recorded. They're even like a billion times better live. They are country, punk, swamp, gypsy, rock. They do a little bit of everything. They're super talented guys. And here is Fishing with Dynamite by Dreadnecks here on the Struggles Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. Wow. Here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That was Dreadnecks with Fishing with Dynamite, a song from an album that it's named after, and it's all dynamite, if I dare say so myself. So the next thing we're going to talk about, this has been a bit of a hot issue on my Facebook as of recent. I am no longer employed by the stage. I quit a couple days ago, and I am always loath to, you know, sometimes when you have a conversation with a person, it's the kind of things that should remain behind the scenes, and I think there is an amount of privacy that needs to be given to personal conversations. I understand that, but as someone who is both here to tell you why the struggle is real, and also as someone, I don't want. You know, you should know about this before you work there, is all. So this is just trying to, you know, I'm just stating my facts, and much like I did with The Rec Room and Music is Art a couple episodes ago, so you guys can just, but it's still up to you guys to make your own decisions. I'm not telling anyone what to do. All right. So I've talked about Sydney Irving on past episodes of the show. She is a young, lovely lady who makes really beautiful music. She's like 17, and just it's fantastic what comes out. You wouldn't have expected out of someone so young, but she does a great job. And we've talked about her here on the podcast, and I became friends with her manager, who I don't know if he wants me sharing all that info, but we've been going back and forth for a while, and he told me that there was a new venue opening up, and he wanted to know if I'd be interested. So I went and I checked it out, and it was on right near Main and Transit in Williamsville. I believe that's like the Clarence Line right there. And I went in, and it was amazing. Like, it was still a work in progress, but it was this building that had this huge back room with, like, there was a middle bit of, like, hardwood floor that almost looks like a roller rink on the inside, and there was just all this, there was just, like, it's the kind of giant room that any booking person dreams of. So I later found out that it was Club Infinity in the past. I had never been to Club Infinity myself, so I had no idea about that. They wanted to do country music. Basically, they have a line dancing night. They have a ton of great cover bands that can come in. They wanted to bring some nationals in, but they want to be a part of the local music scene, and they thought that I was a good person to talk to about that, and, you know, I can agree with that. So, you know, we came down with a few principal things that we were going to do. Basically, I was going to put shows together on Tuesdays, and that's cool. And eventually the idea is you know, we're taking music out of the city and we're taking it to people in the suburbs. So we need to find who those people are and bring them in. And that's not going to happen overnight. That never happens overnight. And I'll tell you this now, folks, if you work with a venue owner, there's like a 90% chance that they're not going to want to take the amount of patience necessary in many cases. So just something like this isn't the first time that's happened to me. So just something to keep in mind. So I definitely preached patience from like the second out the door. The guy who brought me on, he also preached patience. Everyone preaching patience. So, you know, we start talking about these nights, and basically they tell me if someone can bring in like 30 people in the front stage, they'll get a chance to open for a national act in the backstage. And I'm like, that's awesome. I think that's an opportunity a lot of bands will jump at. So we started talking details. Basically, I was going to get paid $100 for each show. About half of that was going to go into, was going to kind of pay for the act of actually booking the show, which would be a lot harder than you think because you're trying to get six good bands that can draw at least a little bit on a Tuesday night in Williamsville. In addition to doing that work, I was also researching, like, I know a lot of, like, the guarantee prices for a lot of local bands now, so I was doing that kind of research on the back end, too. And then the other half of the money was, you know, I was going to be running sound, I was going to be checking the bands in, I was going to be making sure everyone got on off stage on time, and that's what I do. And for $100 for a show, it's not a, I mean, and, you know, that price can waver if anyone's interested in hiring me. But it seemed reasonable. And then the next thing was, well, how do we pay the bands? And the first idea was, we're not going to pay the bands anything for these audition nights is what they called them. And I stopped everything right there. It's like, I am not asking anyone to play for free. No. Like, if you look at this place, it's huge. And it's like, the least you can do is give them a cut of the door, or like a small guarantee that's going to try and entice them to bring in more people to get a better guarantee for next time. He asked what I had in mind. I said, just $25. Just throw people $25 for the first time, and if they draw well and we want to bring them back, then, you know, give them more next time. So I was booking shows like that. So we had our first show on February 25th. It was a singer-songwriter thing. It went pretty well. I didn't know until the day before the show that I would have to be providing a PA, which I rented out to them for $25 for the night. So we had 12 people there. It was fine. The performers were actually really good. On the opposite end of things, I can tell you this. Their advertising was completely ineffective for anything, any of our needs, as far as running a Tuesday night. And the three shows we had, I knew either everyone there or I knew the bands well enough to know that the people there were like family, friends, the kind of people they'd normally have come to a show. That means that their advertising brought in no one. So they're putting pressure on me. Meanwhile, I don't even understand what's happening at this place. My first show was February 25th. They had a soft open February 20th, then another soft open February 21st, and then they weren't actually planning a grand opening until 5 weeks later. So they weren't really advertising that they were open, but I was having shows, and it got weird. So first show, you know, they're not super happy with the numbers, but you know, we tried singer songwriter thing. It usually is going to pull a little less. So the next that next night was a bunch of rock bands, and that was on March 3rd, and we got about 50 people in there. It was a bumpin' night. We had Scarecrow Show and Scathed. I played with Elaney and the Uprising. We had Poindexter. We had This and Dreadnecks, and it was fun as hell. I had some issues with the door guy, so the doors, I'm trying to think about what times it would have been if it was a Tuesday, like, anyway, the door opens, no one's collecting money, okay, no one's being ID'd as they come in, and here's my problem especially, so when the doors open, I go up to the security guy, the door guy, and I'm like, hey, the doors have opened. He's just like, looks, he goes, okay, and just stays there and keeps flirting with the bartenders. I later found out they weren't super happy about that. So eventually he goes and works at the door. I try and hand him a sheet of paper that lists when the bands are going on, and as soon as I try to give it to him, he goes, I'm not handing out flyers. And I'm like, what? Because I'm not handing out any flyers. And I'm like, this isn't a flyer. This says what time the bands are going on. He's like, well, what do I need to know that for? I'm like, you need to know that so if people come in and they ask, they have an answer to that fucking question. So, and this just gets worse. So, and I'll make a clear statement about this here. This is not an employee of the stage. This is someone who, whatever security company they go through. So this is not a permanent stage employee. And as far as I know, he has not been there since. So, eventually, he starts IDing people and collecting. He made homophobic comments towards the singer of one of the bands who performed, which is, I mean, that's completely no. If you're working the door and the only thing you can say to a band is something derogatory about them, shut the fuck up. Jesus Christ, no one cares what you think. So that happens. Then we get to the end of the night, and he's like, he's making fun of me because I didn't recoup my money to pay the bands for the night. And then he tells me that he didn't charge any of the parents. Motherfucker. The parents are the ones you charge. The parents are the ones you charge. You know who you don't charge? You don't charge the singer's girlfriend. And that was something he was really insistent upon. But if you had a mother and she was at the show, she was getting in for free. And it ended up extending out. So I know that there were fans of bands that were there late, and they just got in for free too. Basically, if you're over the age of 50, this asshole was letting people in for free. And then at the end of the night, he's mocking me for not having enough money. So that night, I'm like, okay, well, where's the money for the bands? I mean, that's what I've been doing, has been, you know, the money from the door goes to the venue, and then the bands are paid, like, that money's put aside already. That's how, a guarantee works. So, first, when I call, I find out that my original suggestion were bands getting 25, and I was told, like, let's give them 50. And I heard that, and I'm like, that's fucking generous. I'm going to like working here. Well, that night, apparently, no, it was supposed to be 25. So I had to tell 6 bands that I was only going to pay them half of what I was actually told them they were going to make to drive out to Williamsville and play a show. Then, and this is awesome, I had to pay the bands out of my pocket. I work for this place, and they're making me pay that was one of the most unprofessional things I've ever had, was them telling me to pay out of my pocket. All right. So then the third show comes. First off, I've made many comments about that security guard, and while I, like I said, I don't think he's coming back there ever again, no one actually addressed me about that when I said it. No one seemed to care enough to think that that was worth mentioning to me, because I'm not going to book shows if people are talking to my performers like that. Fuck that shit. Fuck it. Oh, man. So, we get to the third show. It went really well. We had a bunch of under 21 bands, so it was a lot of their family, their parents, about another 50 people. So, at some point, I'm given my $150 back from paying the bands. I'm like, great, I'll put this, you know, this is going right back into my bank account where, you know, it made a hole. So, on my second show there, I get there and I'm like, hey, here to pick up my paycheck. And they're like, you didn't fill out your form right. I literally left off my social security number. And instead of telling me about this ahead of time, they decided it was only important to tell me about it when I was actually picking up the check. So that was the second show. Third show, I'm like, hey, I would like my check this time. And they're like, oh, well, the manager has it. And I'm like, where is he? And they're like, he left. It's like, no one, is this not important enough to anyone that this happens? So, then COVID destroys everything. And, I still haven't gotten any money. And I'm like, okay, well, how about this? So, eventually they tell me the bar manager is going to send me a check. So, she forgot. She had an operation. It took about an extra 10 days to get it out. I get the check. Now, at this point, he owes me for 3 nights at $100 each. He owes me $25 for my speaker setup that I rented for him. And he owes me another $20 for the flyers I printed for him that I don't even think he really used for anything. All right. I get a check for $100, basically. It's 15 hours, which is the amount of time I did work in the restaurant, at like bartender's minimum, and it also claimed that I got $60 in tips. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, dude, what the hell is up with this? I just, can you please pay me? Like, this is not an easy time, specifically to go without money. And he tells me that, well, you know, we had to lay off the accounting person for now, so it'll take a few days to get the check together, and, you know, we'll do our thing. So, okay, wait another week. He tells me they're still trying. I wait another week. I send him a message. I get no response. I'm like, Jesus, man. Like, jeez. So eventually I'm like, he's ignoring me now. So I send him one of those all in caps messages and he's like, how dare you speak to me like that? And I'm like, dude, just give me the money. I mean, it's in the grand scheme of things, geez, it's $350. Like, asking a venue owner for that kind of money shouldn't be a hassle. Like, I would hate to owe him any more than that. So I get all the way down there and find out he only has 140 of it. Fuck. Okay. Go back. Wait another 10 days, call him again. How about today? He goes, we'll do it Monday. I'm like, no, we're going to do Monday. Well, no, he cancels. Then we're going to do Thursday. He cancels again. Then we're going to do Friday. Then on Friday, he tells me he only has 140 of the 210 he owes me if I want to come pick that up. It's like, I'm not driving out to Williamsville 3 times to pick up one paycheck. So he says, wait till Monday, then you can come pick it up. And I'm like, finally, thank fucking Christ. So the morning of, I'm like, hey, dude, where are, like, what's the address? Because he writes, like, he texts completely illegibly. Like the address he gave me actually had 2 extra digits that didn't belong there. I'm not even kidding you on that. So I'm like, hey, I need to verify that this is the address. And then, like, silence for 3 hours. And then as I'm leaving the house, I'm like, dude, you can't, like, I need to get my money. What is happening? And then he starts yelling at me saying he doesn't sit on his phone while he's at work. And it's like, you're kind of a venue owner and you owe your employees money. It's kind of your fucking job. And then on top of that, he starts arguing with me. And he goes, well, the bartender said I gave you $150. And I'm like, yeah, and that was to pay for the bands that night. And he's like, well, that's supposed to come from the door. And I'm like, didn't come from the door because your homophobic door guy decided not to collect from everyone. And then he goes, well, I thought the $100 you got every night was taken out of the door. And I'm like, we never agreed to that. I filled out W-2 forms. I assumed all of this was like taxable, normal work hours and that I wasn't like being paid off the books. And he's like, well, when I said 25, it was only for the backstage, not the front stage. And it's like, what? Like, that doesn't even make any sense to me. So he was basically saying he wasn't paying bands for the front show, which was literally the first thing I told him was that we weren't going to do those shows unless I paid the bands. And now he's telling me that we shouldn't have paid them in the first place, which is just to every band that played. That's just a fucking middle finger. Man, I'm getting wound up, aren't I? So, yeah, he was trying to argue, like, he just kept, he's like, well, you know, I was only paying you for this and this, and you were paying this, and I'm like, it was one price for the bands, just give me my fucking money. He ended up giving it to me, and he told me, he's like, I don't like anything about this, and I said, neither do I. I went home, cut ties with everything on social Facebook. I'm assuming he knows I quit, but fuck that place. Like, the amount of work, like, that I got paid per hour for what I did there is well below what I put into it. And I think that goes along, like, there's a lot of people in the music industry who agree with you on that. And to do that, and then to be patient when your paycheck gets delayed by weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and hemming and hawing, and then to be accused of trying to take more money than you owe, it's like, I had done nothing but try and help these folks out, and that's just, it's a slap. So, I posted about it on social media. That is, my response was a shorter version of that. To be honest, it wasn't like 18 minutes of me yelling, but here we are. So, I post about it on Facebook. A lot of people just wanting to know what happened. I gave them kind of an abridged version. But I am one of the people who reaches out to me as someone who books a nationally touring act that is based out of Buffalo. And she wants to know what happened because she said that this person who I don't think I've given his name yet. I don't want to do that. But she basically said the stage screwed her over too, and that's why she wanted to know what happened. So, you know, like I said, if someone can't even take the time to pay you when you need your money, just fuck it. There's other opportunities. Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to chance to have to book a room that big again. But I'd rather just not fucking deal with that stress and just know that there's clear communication and everything I'm talking to is on the up and up. So, whew, that was a lot of talking, Ryan. I agree. Myself as a co-host, now talking to himself. Next up, we got all sorts of fun stuff to play here. Oh, yeah, we have been doing some online concerts recently. And I have some tracks from that, which mean, technically, they are exclusive. So, let's see what we have here. I'm going to go with Danimal Cannon. So, we're doing virtual concerts. Actually, I'll talk about the virtual concerts later. This is from a virtual concert that Danimal Cannon did, and I'll tell you guys more about it when we get back, because it was awesome. But this is live with him playing with his Game Boy as synthesizer setup here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music podcast, and it was from, Saturday, May 9th, I think. All right, here it is on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast and allwny.com.
This track is a fast one. This is called Roots. Yeah.
And we are back here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That was Danimal Cannon from a live concert series that I've been running with the Coalition for Economic Justice in here in Buffalo. Every concert we've been doing a $5 donation. We also have people who can donate money to pay for a ticket for someone who can't make it. If you go to Struggling Productions, the page there, you can see what shows we have coming up. The last show was brilliant. We had Chucky Campbell and Danimal Cannon and Pam Swartz and Ian McCune and Christina Stock and Kevin Kaufman. And the lesson we learned between concerts 1 and 2 that made the last one so great is we soundchecked this time. Who'd have thunk it? So, I was going to complain about that asshole from Trapped. I don't know if you guys saw that story. Basically, he started, like, complaining about Buffalo venues and promoters, and Greg Burt pulled, like, a 180 on him and literally showed emails of, like, his band canceling and being a problem. So he was, like, the guy from Trapped was claiming he could fill, like, 1,000 people in a room, and it was, like, 200. So, but that guy's an idiot, so who the fuck cares? So, at some point, Trapped was taken over by the singer, who I guess is a complete fucking asshole. So, just block him and don't pay attention to it. I don't even... Where's this guy from? Just says United States. That doesn't help me. Fuck that guy. Don't pay attention to Trapped. That's really all we learned there. That's kind of... I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of running out of stuff to talk about. So, I think we're just going to go fucking crazy and play some music. So, while I have been hard at work with the WNYmusic.com build, which, yeah, I know, I said the last episode it was going to be ready, but oh my god, this, oh man. Just launching a website, asking people to do it for free. So many, many, many problems to come from that. I really do appreciate all of the volunteers we've had, but, like, I thought this thing was going to be ready, like, January, and here we are, and it's like, I think we can get it by June 1st. Let's do this. So, by going through there, by checking out band profiles and getting pictures, I've been lucky enough to get acquainted with a lot of new local bands, and one of those bands is called Anchor, and they're like, they're a grunge band, man. They're hard, and I think you guys will dig them, and I think more and more I'll probably be, like, delving my hands into the realm of the Rochester and Fredonia scene, just to keep an eye on what our neighbors are doing, just, you know, to make sure they're not up to stuff. All right, so we'll play that, and then after that, we are going to play Hard Look by Real Movement from their album You Are Loved. Yeah, I love this album. This is former co-host Kevin Kaufman, and I love it. It's a really cool track. The whole album's good, but this is my favorite. All right, so we're going to play those two, and then we'll be right back here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Thank you.
back here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. We went back to back right there with DBNR from Rochester, New York's Anchor. And the second song there was Hard Look by Real Movement. Yeah, I'll talk about Real Movement again for a minute. Kind of has like this Modest Mouse vibe, kind of has like this Ben Lee, Ben Queller vibe. But there's no one that quite sounds quite like them, and a few of those guys are also in Pompous Rat, which is a Modest Mouse cover band who I had the privilege of seeing over at Good Bar, and they're really good, and I mean, they've filled Nietzsche's almost on their own, so, you know, catch those guys, because it's a fun time. And who doesn't like Modest Mouse? To me, Modest Mouse is one of those completely non-polarizing bands. I feel like everyone just kind of likes Modest Mouse. Or if they don't, they should. So, we're just going to keep playing some tracks, man. I've got them. Let's use them, right? So, first off, we're going to play a new track from the Chris Squire Band. This song is called Best Days. This just kind of reminds me of some good mainstream radio rock. Like, kind of reminds me of watching Bon Jovi music videos when I was a kid. So, I think you folks will dig that. And then after that, from the May 9th show, we have Christina Stock performing Nowhere Sounds Nice, which we've played a different demo that I recorded of her on the show before, but this is a different version. So next up, Best Days by Chris Squire, Nowhere Sounds Nice by Christina Stock, and then we'll be back to wrap things up here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. Struggles Real Buffalo Music Podcast, and we're running out of time. So, that's basically all we got for the episode. Check out the Trivia Thursdays. You can find that on strugglingproductions.com. Or if you go to if you do that, it'll take you to the Facebook page, and then you can find it. But you can go to facebook.com/strugglingproductions, go to our events. You'll find our trivia events in there. They're really cool. And once the world starts working again, hopefully we'll be moving those over to Milky's and we'll be able to do them in person. Also, keep an eye out for concerts on Saturday nights. We still have some cool things up our sleeve because it's going to be a while before the venues are going to be open again. And I'm really curious to see what's going to happen in the time between now and the next episode with the state opening up. And I think we're kind of a long way from really having any sort of certainty what's going to be. I didn't mention this earlier. I should have. Buffalo Infringement Festival is actually going to be going virtual this year. We've decided, even if things are open, it's going to be so close to it being open, and there's such a small containment of infringement people going to like the same shows for a week and a half. We didn't want to risk it. So we got to talk to every band now that we've already talked to and already scheduled. We got to call them again and find out if they are going to be able to either perform in a venue where we tape them, but there's no crowd in it, or if they're going to do their stuff from home. So there's still a lot of uncertainty there. I also want to mention that we just got our third Fredonia intern. We're always really excited about that. If you are a college student and you're interested in music industry and you're trying to find somewhere where you can intern and get at least, some useful stuff, I'd hope. I had an experience myself where I had a really useless internship in college, and now that I have the opportunity to kind of help people maybe, figure their stuff out before they get out of college, or at least, I can write a letter of recommendation or be a reference or any of that stuff. So I'm here to help whatever way I can. So if you're interested, you can always shoot us a line. My email is sirwilliamidle@gmail.com. WNYmusic.com will be launched soon, I swear to you. Keep up with the Facebook pages and you'll see it on there. And Guys, I'm going to just go take a nap. I'm tired. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Keep on struggling. And, maybe next time we'll have an actual guest. Who knows? Only time will tell. All right, folks. Have a great day. Keep struggling.